All right, well, chapter 4 already. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Ruth 4. We'll start this way by reading through this chapter. There's so many good things in this last chapter, and I'm sure there's more that I've missed. You know, that's just the way the Bible is. I got home today a little bit early from work, and I had about an hour, and so I sat down on the couch with some books and my Bible, and I did some more reading, and some more light bulbs came on, and it's just like, I don't know that we could ever spend too much time in the Bible. There's always new things that pop out. Well, anyways, let's read this together, and let's read it responsibly, and so let's just read every even-numbered verse together. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, we'll all read the even-numbered verses together. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And as they say, that is the rest of the story. So there it is, Ruth chapter 4. And I hope that you enjoyed looking through this chapter a little bit. Maybe the Lord gave you some nuggets you'd like to share. If you look at your page, we have this unknown poem, "What Star of Messianic Truth, More Beautiful Than Gentile Ruth? In her, the Gentiles find a place to share the hope of Judah's race. Now see, from royal David's line, one hope for Jew and Gentile shine." We have Job talking about his Goel, his kinsmen. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And it's a lesson to think about the redemption of our bodies and the eventual resurrection of our bodies. We believe that our kinsman Redeemer bought us spirit, soul, and body. All purchased. He purchased everything. I heard an interesting quote this week. A seminary professor was asking his class. He said, "What do you tell a Christian who doesn't believe in a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ?" The answer is, "You're not a Christian." It's a good response. I'm thinking, what clever thing can I say? I'll just tell them the truth. Job believed it. The apostles believed it. We believe it. This is a great picture. The Redeemer, the redemption, who buys everything. Well, anyways, we said, read the fourth chapter five times this week. And then letter A, write down two or three key statements from the chapter you think may be helpful in unlocking the main theme or thesis of the chapter. And here we are looking at love's reward. And this is the reward for all of their patience and their waiting and their working. But what's the theme? Anyone have a phrase or two? Yes?
So Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And she was his wife.
Good. Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. That sums it up pretty good. Anyone else? Samuel.
The kinsmen of whom Boaz spake came by.
Kinsmen came by. Good. Anyone else? A king.
She bare a son.
Yeah.
Which is basically led to David.
That's right. Here you go, Brother Bill.
Redeeming love.
Very good. Like, yes.
So he drew off his shoe?
He drew off his shoe. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Good. Anyone else? I wound up with three, and they kind of tell the story. In verse 4, "I will redeem it." That's the nearer kinsman. Verse 6, "I cannot redeem it." That's also the nearer kinsman. And then in verse 9, Boaz says, "I have bought all." So one guy says, "I will." "I can't." And Boaz says, "I have." And I like that. Anyone else?
I like that ye are witnesses this day.
Yeah. Amen. Yep, it wasn't done in a corner, that's for sure. Good. Good stuff. Letter B. What do you think is a thematic verse for the chapter? I mean, if you were going to teach this chapter and you wanted to give someone a memory verse on the chapter, what would it be? Don't look at what I said. What did you say? A thematic verse.
6 and 7.
Verses 6 and 7? Amen. Cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Now, that phrasing, we'll get to it, that confuses me so much because there are several things it can mean. And I've tried to dig and dig, and I'll feel one time it means this, and then another time, it means this. But there's a lot of truth there. It's very good. Anything else? Anyone else?
Like verse 10, where he says, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
Yes.
The name of the dead be not cut off from on earth.
Amen. You see Boaz's intention there. The selflessness. You know, I will raise up Elimelech's name so that name won't die, that name won't end. You want to see how God honors it? Look at the last 4 or 5 verses. Do you see Elimelech in there? Boaz gets the place. And God gets to pick the names here, right? Boaz has the heart, I must decrease. And the Lord exalts him and lifts him up. You know, he humbles himself in the sight of the Lord, and God exalts him. Just really great. That's the little nugget I found in my little reading this afternoon. Libby.
Verse 5.
With they thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead above his inheritance. Good. Sam, what was yours?
Verse 22. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat.
Very good. All right, letter C. In your own words, write down what you think is the theme of the chapter. In your own words. Yes, Hakeem.
Unconditional love. And Boaz, the godly man, or actually learned a lot from him. I learned, you know, being a godly man, and you know, you got to decrease so God can increase.
Amen.
And also, if you feed a woman enough, you know, that she could. unconditional love.
Good. Yep. The lessons you take away from this, brother, that's great. Feed a woman enough, she might marry you. That's good. Good. Anyone else for letter C? Yes, Sam.
The American says he can't redeem Ruth, and Boaz says he will.
Good. Libby?
Boaz redeems Ruth and saves their family.
Very good. Good. Anything else? Anyone else? We'll move on. Number 2. Any difficult words or phrases? We looked up a few in our family, but maybe there was something. She said, what does this mean? For clarity, you looked it up. Anyone want to share one of those? One or more? Maybe there was a word you didn't look up, but you didn't know what it meant. Any of those? Yes, Ben.
That salutation.
Such an one.
Yes.
That's the way everybody talks, brother. Oh, such an one. Did you get any thoughts on that? I have some thoughts, but...
Well, I thought it was so simplistic that I didn't bother looking it up.
He knew the man's name, and most commentators think that he's called him by name. We'll get to this in a little bit. There comes a time when a man who says, I will not redeem it, has his shoe plucked off. He's spit in the face, and he has his name changed. A lot of people think that whoever authored this book left his name out on purpose to kind of give the idea that his name was mud, so to speak. Because he wouldn't do it, he doesn't even have a place on the page. Now, we don't know that. That's speculation. But when I read it, I thought, what a strange way to address someone. Hello, such and one. You know, that's what we do at church when you don't remember someone's name. Hey! You? You know, it's really interesting.
Well, your comment just made me think about the huge contrast then, leaving out his name, but putting in the information about who Ruth is following after, such as like Rachel and Leah.
Yeah.
And who her seed, she will be of the seed which the Lord shall give thee.
Yeah.
And she wanted to come. With Naomi to receive.
Huge contrast. Yeah, huge contrast between those folks. And I don't know if that's why they leave his name out, and that's why they have it written that way. But, you know, what we read in Deuteronomy 25, which was, we may get to some of that, the way we read that, it was a shame to do what this man did. So. All right, good.
You're going to get into that verse later on.
I think so. Yes, sir. Two words we looked up. What did we look up, man? What were the two words we looked up?
I looked up mar.
Mar. And what does mar mean?
It means to ruin.
Yeah, to spoil. Luke, what word did you look up?
I didn't look up anything.
Okay. Number 3. We looked up another one. I forget what it was, though, and I don't know why I didn't write it down. Anyways, yeah, there weren't that many difficult words. We'd already gone through redeem and things like that pretty good. Number 3, a list of the characters in the chapter. And again, if you have one, just say a name, and then if you learn something about that person, maybe extra in this chapter, then give that as well, something we can learn about them. Akeem.
Verses 18 and 22.
That's correct. That was the last one. I just put verses 18 through 22. All those people. Who else? Who do we read about in this chapter?
Boaz.
Boaz, that's right. We learn anything new about him in this chapter?
He wouldn't stop.
Yeah. What we decided in our family was this was a lot of reinforcement of the good things we already saw in his life. A lot of reinforcement. Yes?
Mahlon,
what do we learn about him in this chapter?
That he's Ruth's husband.
Yes, because when we read chapter 1, we're like, well, who was married to who? And then when we read chapter 4 this time, Sam goes, Ruth was married to Mahlon. There it is. We found it. Have the answer. I always wondered how PureFlix knew that in the movie adaptation we watched. She's married to Mahlon and Orpah's married to Killian. I'm like, how do they know that? Well, duh, it's in the Bible. All right, good. Yes?
There's the name Lord. I don't recall that being in the other three chapters.
I think it was.
Yeah,
the Lord hath. Chapter 1, verse 21.
In verse 9.
She talks bitterly about what the Lord's done.
In verse 2.
Is the Lord in chapter 4?
It is at the end. I mean, at verse 14.
And the Lord gave her conception.
I see. Very good. Yes.
And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord.
Good. All right.
In verse 12 in chapter 2, the Lord recompense thy work.
We also see Naomi's in this chapter. You know what we learn about her specifically? She's a grandma. Grandmama. Meemaw, finally. Yes. Those were some bad sons. No, I'm just kidding. She really was. We also learned that the field belonged to Naomi. She was still the owner of the field and had not passed on to Mahlon and Killian after the death of their father. Yes, I have a question. Sure.
Okay. He said, and Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom and became nurse to it. Not literally.
Well, literally, she became a nurse to
but
the
not
child.
Nurse.
No, she,
okay, cool.
Not the verb,
okay.
The noun.
Gotcha.
She did not nurse the child.
Right.
She became nurse to the child. So like you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Some dude comes in, he's your nurse.
Yeah.
That's what she was.
I'm going to say that would be kind of awkward. Weird.
I mean, culture, brother. I'm sure all that type of thing would have a lot.
Usually helps out. Come on. Grandma usually helps out.
No,
sure,
but not nursing. But you know, even still, you know, there are things like that that take place. But in this particular context, they're just saying she was a nurse.
Okay, I was too about that.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, she's a good grandma. Not just a good mother-in-law, a good grandmother as well. Okay, good. Anything else? All right, flip your page over then. Let's go to number 4. There are three main sections of the chapter. Verses 1 through 8, verses 9 through 12, verses 13 through 22. What are the themes in each chapter? So it's or in each portion. So it's part 1, part 2, part 3. If you were to give a synopsis, say part 1 is this, part 2 is this, part 3 is this. If anyone has something, just give us 1, 2, 3 for the flow of the chapter.
I'm saying that they get off. I got the selling the land, the witnesses, or Boaz to Ruth.
Good. That's great. And there's not a wrong answer. These are your words, so that's good. Very good. Yes, Mary.
Redemption, conception, and genealogy.
Wow. That's great. Do you want to look over my sermons and give me points for it? That'd be good. Very good. Absolutely, that's great. Anything else?
All right. Confirmation, 1 through 8,
mm-hmm.
And it progresses.
Very good.
9 through 12, Boaz redeems.
Yes. Very good. Anyone else want to share? Okay, number five then. In the first section, we read about Boaz purchasing Ruth. And now people today would freak out about that. But I claim ownership over my wife. Okay? And she, I know, this is crazy. And she claims ownership over me. Not in a slave relationship, in a servant love relationship. Okay? We entered into that. And willingly and happily. It's more than a contract. You know, and it's really a beautiful thing. Here's Boaz giving of the things he's labored to get Ruth. There's some unusual things that happen in this part of the story. To us, they're unusual because this is a different time, different place, different culture. But verse 7 says this was the way it was done in former times. So keep your finger here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 25. Just back in book 2 or 3. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10. There are a lot of other scriptures we can look at to get more depth on this, but really, this should be enough for now. What I want you to do is compare and contrast what we've already read in Ruth 4. Some of you have already done this, but the exercise here is Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10, and Ruth chapter 4 are a very similar event. And there are some things that are different from what happened in Ruth 4 from what we read about Ruth 25. There are some things that are the same. So just kind of keep your eyes peeled. What things are similar? What things are different? So Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Well, that's a great name. But it's a shameful thing. This practice is what's known as levirate marriage. It's levirate. And these are all through the scripture. Even in Jesus' time, they came up to him and tempted him and said, you know, about the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? She has 7 brothers. You know, really, she just needs to learn how to cook better because she keeps killing all of her husbands. That's the right answer. No, I'm just kidding. So they're tempting him, testing him. But they understood this is a common practice. Now, what we read in Deuteronomy 25, let's compare with Ruth 4. What do we see in Deuteronomy 25 that we also see take place in Ruth 4? What things do we see that are the same or similar?
Ruth's late husband.
No.
Came her.
Uh-huh. So. Yep. Kinsman redeemed her. Yep.
When the other kinsman didn't do it,
took out the shoe.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, he took off the shoe. That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
I'm thinking of it.
The shoe is similar. That's good. What else? Some other things. Some other parts of the puzzle that were the same.
They both went to the gate.
The gate is the same. The elders. The number's different. Right now, there are 10 elders in a Jewish council. And they actually date that back to Boaz. Boaz was the one who started that. Even today, they still do that. 10 elders.
They still do the spit in the face and all that?
No, they don't do the levirate marriage still. That was, well, some ultra-Orthodox may. I think even a lot of other sects and groups in America do that. I think some Amish, some more hardcore Amish do that type of thing. Is that it for similarities?
Yeah.
Are there others?
His name.
His name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants a name like that, right? Now let's contrast. What things are different in Ruth 4 from Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10? Same.
Ruth didn't spit.
Yes. Ruth is basically absent from the picture. Now, Deuteronomy 25, here's how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go that the woman, that the nearer kinsman knows of his duty, but refuses to perform it, then the woman, which would be Ruth's situation, you know, there's this duty that needs to be done and he's not performing it, Ruth should go to the elders, tell the elders. Then the elders should go from there and get the man. When he comes, they meet with him alone without the woman, and they speak to him. Kind of like a church discipline type situation. Are you sure you want to do this? Do you understand what's going to happen? This is not the direction you want to go in your life. This is the direction we want you to go. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, I like not to do it. Then they call the woman back. And then in the present, she spits in his face. He loses his shoe, gives it to her, and all those types of things. Why did it not happen that way? I have two things in my mind. We don't know, we're speculating. But any ideas? Okay.
Boaz, he was more than willing to take her.
Sure. Yep. But why not go through the proper channels, the traditional channels?
Special case.
So, I think one of the answers, if you're in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, Ruth technically should not have gone to Boaz if she knew about the nearer kinsman. I don't know that she knew about the nearer kinsman. Naomi may have. She withheld a little bit of information. She may not have. Boaz says, I'm going to get this thing done. You know, I'm not going to say, no, Ruth, you got to go to this guy, and then you got to go to the elders, and the elders got to call him, and then the elders will call you. No. He said, I'm going to get the elders, I'm going to get the guy, I'm going to get all of this, we're going to take care of it right now. And I think he was kind of maybe cutting through the red tape, the bureaucracy a little bit. That's one reason. The other reason I think is probably more important is that to keep this picture, Ruth would have been humiliated to be rejected in public, right? Imagine if you have to get 10 men on your side to make your marriage proposal work, and they drag the guy there kicking and screaming, and he says, no, 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 in front of everybody, and you have to spit in his face and take off his shoe. I mean, sure, shame on him. But ladies, how would that make you feel? Right? It would be a shameful thing. I think in the picture of Christ redeeming his bride, he took all the shame on himself. So I think what we see Boaz doing here is standing in for Ruth, stepping up to the plate and standing in where she would have been ashamed. And he said, I'll be ashamed for you, just like our Savior did on the cross, where he was shamed for us. Yes?
I've got another difference.
Okay.
The woman didn't go to the elders.
That's correct. Boaz took care of all of that.
From her coming from Moab, did they practice the same type of thing?
That's a good question. A lot of people think that this was kind of a special case because there are some differences. But in my thinking, and this is just, you know, where I'm at now, this was the law of the nearer kinsman. So it should still apply. And it's possible he didn't spit in his face. But they did take the shoe. So what we know about, what we know gives us enough evidence that this situation did apply, but it may not have applied perfectly.
And what could be the causes that would mar his own inheritance?
Brother, you're asking a question a lot of other people have asked. I think there are two that I can think of. We don't know for sure, but I think we'll get to those in a bit, so I don't want to spoil that just now. But that's a great question. There's one I pondered over for a long time because I'm thinking, why would this mar or spoil his inheritance? And when we went through this as a family, we spent a lot of time on that. Hopefully, we can get through it a little bit quicker here. But we do see enough differences. Also, I want to say one other thing about this, the no spitting thing. From the guy's phrasing, he said, I cannot redeem it. And in Deuteronomy 25, he's saying, I like not to. In other words, I don't want to. Right? In Ruth chapter 4, he says, I cannot. So it's very possible that he already had prior obligations and the people respected that and said, but here's a man who will do it. We won't shame you. You'll lose your shoe for the transaction, but we won't shame you. And I think that fits the picture a whole lot better. The man doesn't get shamed. The transaction is still done. So I don't know that the spitting took place, but we do see Boaz going there, guns blazing, to do it all himself. And that's just like our Redeemer. He did it all himself. And all we have to do is ask.
But Pastor, you know, it seems like he was willing to buy the land, but he didn't want to be obligated to Ruth.
100%. Yep. And that calls his motivation into question. So I said two things. There are three things, I think. But we'll get to those. I think right now, number six, what was the nearer kinsman response to redeeming Naomi's property? His exact words were, I will redeem it. Okay? So the idea of him purchasing the property, and the way this worked was every 50 years, there was a year of Jubilee, and all the property would go back to the original families that owned it. And if a man were to go into debt or to become impoverished, he could sell his field. And he would get enough for it for those however many years the guy's going to work it. So let's say Jubilee is in 1 year. And he doesn't get a lot for it because the guy he's selling it to only gets to use it for a year before he gets it back. But let's say he's got 30 years or 40 years or 49 years or a whole 50 years. He gets more and more and more. It gets prorated, I think would be the right word, based on how many years until Jubilee takes place. So the idea is here, Naomi has the property. It's in her possession. It never passed from Elimelech to Mahlon and Chilion because they were out of town. It couldn't pass. When they died, it stayed in Elimelech's name, and so Naomi wound up being a sort of overseer of it. She really couldn't use it because it had been sold to someone else. Now, if someone was going to buy it from her, they would have to give her enough money in order for her to clear the debt, right? And then that land would go to that person. So the nearer kinsman is looking at this. Elimelech has a plot of land. I can pay, I don't know, let's say it's 5 years till Jubilee. 10 years, but I have that much money. I can give her that much money, and those fields become mine, and they become a part of my inheritance. In other words, what I'm going to give to my children, that is part of it now. Now, next question, number seven. What was the nearer kinsman's response to redeeming Ruth, the Moabitess?
I cannot.
I cannot. Now, Let's dig into that. Number eight. Some people think the nearer kinsman was already married. That's reason number one. And that's why he said, I cannot redeem it. I already have a wife. If I buy it, I can't marry her. I'm already married. It seems to me Boaz would have already known that. That's just my thinking. It seems unlikely to me. So, let's ask these next questions. Letter A. Is there anything in Boaz's words and in the nearer kinsman's statement that might give us a clue as to why he could not redeem Ruth? I'll give you number two real quick. Number two is perhaps he had children of his own. And he thought, well, if I have my children and I marry Ruth and we have children, then I have to divide up all of this inheritance amongst those children, and it would take from what I had for my current children. I also don't think that's very plausible. Because you would say, here's plot A, this is mine. I'm buying Elimelech's. This is plot B, that's his. I can raise up children by Ruth. They get plot B. My kids still get plot A. Right? Doesn't seem to me like that would spoil his inheritance, what he got from his daddy. It doesn't seem like that would spoil it. To me, this is just, again, my speculation. But maybe look at the words of Boaz. And look at the words of the kinsman redeemer, Ruth chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi? Boaz is getting down to brass tacks here. Okay, great. You can buy it. And I just see Boaz being a little shrewd here. You know, in every business deal, you withhold just a little bit of information. Right? Especially when there's something you want to get out of it. I'm not saying he's being dishonest. I'm saying he did his homework and the other guy didn't. And if you do your homework and the other guy doesn't, guess who comes out on top? Right? So Boaz says, the day you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it of Ruth, the Moabitess, to raise up seed and where am I at? Yeah, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead among his inheritance, upon his inheritance. He says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Is there anything in Boaz's phrasing or statement that might give us an indication as to why this man would say, I can't do it?
Well, what he says, though, is opposed to what Deuteronomy 25 says. Deuteronomy 25 says, first child. You know, so maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was ignorant of
it. It's possible. I look at it a little bit different because there are other scriptures saying that a Moabite can't enter into the congregation. Right? So what you have in the Old Testament, you have this comprehensive teaching, like we have in the whole Bible. And we've already looked at this where a Moabite person cannot come into the congregation of the righteous, cannot come into the congregation of God. But yet Isaiah tells us, listen, if someone turns to the Lord, matter of fact, go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. I'll show you what the apostles taught. And this is kind of like what we looked at in Isaiah. The Lord says, you know, if you keep my Sabbaths, you'll obey me and you'll love me with all your heart and you'll turn to me, then you have a place to the Moabite, to the Moabitess. You have a place. If you will turn to me, you have a place. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. But Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Right? So there's the New Testament teaching of what we learned from Isaiah. So understand, this guy, when he hears you have to marry Ruth, the Moabitess, he says, I can't do that because it would spoil what I already have.
Yep, divide all of it between
I don't think it was the dividing it. I think it was, he didn't think he could accept a Moabitess. I think he was still in this mindset that a Moabitess can't enter into the congregation of God. They're defiled. They're sinners. Gentiles. Another word for a Gentile is, dog, that's one. Not pagan. Heathen. I'm going to marry a heathen? I'm going to have a heathen as my wife? That would, the word mar means to decrease the quality of or to spoil. That would decrease the quality, not the quantity. He's saying that would spoil, not diminish. It would damage the quality of what I own and what I possess and my inheritance, my namesake. If I were to take a heathen, Gentile person into my house. Now Boaz knows she's not a heathen. She's been saved. She's part of Israel. And he has that promise of God. She's part of the family. He knows that. This guy doesn't know. He says, I cannot take her. Now that's my take.
But you know, when Paul took Timothy into the temple, that the Jews wanted, I believe it was Timothy, because his mother was a Gentile,
mm-hmm.
and they had a uphill. I mean, that just reinforces, you know, what you're saying there.
Yep.
Find your reason.
Yeah, and even Peter struggled with that a lot when the church, that's why Acts 10 was kind of a big deal, because he struggled with that a lot. You know, we're Israel, we're Israel. Paul comes in, no, look, these Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost. Oh, wow. God accepts people of every nation, not just Israel. That was kind of a big deal. And it was a big deal here, too. And like I say, there's a couple ways to take on it, but that's kind of where I landed. Here's one way that I think could help us to see this, because the nearer kinsman, letter B of number 8, is a type of the Old Testament law. Compare him with Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Why couldn't the law redeem us? This is what Romans 8, verse 3 tells us. The law could not redeem us. Why? Let's go there. Keep your finger here. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to think about this nearer kinsman as a type of the law. He could have afforded the redemption, but he could not redeem a heathen. He could redeem the land. He could redeem the property. He could not redeem the person. He could not redeem the sinner. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the law could not redeem us. Why? It was, what's that W word? Weak. What was the weakness of the law? It wasn't the law. Flesh. Okay, you see, the problem in Ruth chapter 4 is not with the nearer kinsman, it's with Ruth. The problem with the law is not the law. The law is great. You know, if you could be born and keep the law in every single point from the time you were born to the time you die, you go right into heaven. No problem. Because you never sinned. It would prove that you weren't a child of Adam. It would prove that you were a virgin-born son of God if you could keep the law in every point from the time you were born until the time you were brutally murdered by your countrymen. It would prove that you were a virgin-born son of God. It would prove you weren't a child of Adam. It would prove that you weren't a sinner. It would prove you were without sin. The law's great. My flesh is not. My flesh is weak. The law says don't covet. My flesh says, watch me. Right?
You know? Paul did that. You know, you remember in his testimony. He said from his youth on, he was perfect.
He did say that.
Law was, the law was, you know, says Galatians.
Schoolmaster, bring us to Christ. Absolutely. Yeah, and the rich young ruler said that as well. He said, I've kept all these laws from my youth up. And I think a lot of that is keeping the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law, which Christ, you know, accomplished both. But that's the weakness of the law. Not the law. I mean, the Ten Commandments are great. Wherever they are, this mid-sized courtroom. The Ten Commandments are great, but I'm weak. My flesh is weak. I cannot keep them. So there's no redemption there. The law cannot redeem sinners because they're sinners. We needed a Goel. Yeah, a savior, a kinsman redeemer. So here we have this picture in the Old Testament of a guy, and he says, look, can you buy the property? No problem. I can afford every penny of it. Can you redeem this heathen? I can't do that. I can't do that. It will spoil me. The only way the law could let us into heaven is if we dumbed the law down. We'd have to lessen the quality of the law to be accepted by the law. Law says, I can't do that. Right? I cannot lessen the quality of who I am. And so our kinsman redeemer took the shame upon himself, said, I can. I can redeem them. And he did. We're very thankful for that. Okay, so does that make sense? Okay. We did do it a lot faster than we did Monday night around our kitchen table. That's good. All right, Ruth chapter 4, verse 9, number 9. Ruth chapter 4, verse 9, Boaz speaks of the property he purchased. From whom did he buy the property? And these are just some ended up things. Naomi. Bought it from Naomi. Now, if she owned it, why didn't she do anything with it? We've already covered that a little bit. Yes.
God wanted to redeem her.
Yes. Did anyone look up Numbers 27, verses 8 through 11? Anyone look that up? It's just an interesting part in the law. If a man dies, the property goes to his sons. If his sons die, the property goes to the daughters. You know, it goes to all these different people. It never goes to the widow. Property never goes to the widow. And my children, I think it was Sarah, she's like, why? We have to be careful because this was God's law, right? This was God's plan. Why? We should ask it much differently. Why? The answer is because God wanted the widow to be redeemed. He didn't want her, you know, to be the property mogul or whatever, however you say that.
Or she remarried. You know, depending on the age of the women, she remarried. I mean, where would they lose the property? Because it would be part of her husband's lot, wouldn't it?
It would not. Because how it was supposed to work is that the man would marry her, and they would bear a son, and then that son would inherit the property in the name of her first husband. So it would keep it in the family. So in Ruth chapter 4... look at verse 5. He says, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also buy it also of the Ruth of Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So he would have to raise up a son under Mahlon's name. Mahlon, son of Elimelech. And so Obed, supposedly, would be the son of Mahlon, the son of Elimelech.
Well, did Moses give... Remember, there was two daughters of Zipporah or something like that. And I'm probably screwing that up. But they were given instructions. They could get the inheritance, but they had to marry within their clan. And that's the way that worked. They could marry, but they had to marry within their clan, and that would keep the property...
in the family.
Yeah, in the family.
And I'm sure, was always just the Lord's main emphasis. Well, here's what God didn't want. He didn't want one family getting a monopoly on the land. That's why the year of Jubilee was there. That's why he said, remove not the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set. Don't go moving property markers, you know, those types of things. And so, yes, I think in some situations, the widow would maintain control. control of the property. You know, in this situation, it was so strange because they were out of town when they died. And so there was never, you know, it should have been Ruth's property. When Elimelech died, it should have gone to Mahlon or to Chilion. Orpah had no say to it. She stayed in Moab. But Ruth came back. It should have been hers rightfully. But it stayed with Naomi just because it never got transferred. They were away through all of that, you know, for all of those types of things. So, but I don't think Naomi did anything with it because I think the expectation of the law was that, well, first off, if it was still in the hands of another one, that's what Boaz had to do, buy it through that person, through Naomi. Or just because she had a right, they never sold land, it was always a lease, but she had a right to sell it, but not to own it. A right to sell it, but not a right to work it. But anyways.
If she did have an heir son, he would take care of her.
Correct. Or a daughter even. You know, the Bible even says it would go to a daughter. And my kids were like, why not the widow? I think from what I've read, the custom was a lot of widows would just work it, you know. I think the Lord's hope was that by the time a woman became a widow, an older widow, she would have sons and daughters to care for her. If she was a younger widow, she'd have someone to redeem her and the property and find rest for her. But
we have what we call gold diggers.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. You're a rich guy and get all this.
Yeah. I know a very, very rich man who's in his mid to late 80s. Very, 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 very wealthy.
She's like 20 years old.
Yeah, he has a 28-year-old wife.
Oh, it's terrible.
It is. All right, let's move on then. We got to get through this. Where are we at? Number 10?
Yes.
Boaz took Ruth to be his bride. How is this like our kinsman redeemer? Samuel.
He'll take the church to be his bride.
That's right. Jesus hung the law on the cross and took us to be his bride. Number 11. This might take just a little bit of time, and then I think we'll be out of here quick after this, but people in the gate and the elders gave a blessing to Ruth and Boaz in Ruth 4, 11 to 12. What three persons do they wish for their child to be like?
Phares.
Okay, wait. Someone else for another one?
Leah.
And who else?
Rachel.
Okay. Let's deal with these first, Rachel and Leah together. Why? Why Rachel and Leah? What's significant about them? Yes.
And they built the house of Israel?
Yeah, the text really explains that. They built the house of Israel! God bless you like he blessed Rachel and Leah and built the house of Israel. Then here comes Phares, born of Tamar. Huh? Why? What's significant about that? Hold on a second, because you heard some of this. Anyone get any answers? Phares is mentioned in verse 18. That's kind of the beginning of this line to David. We're not going to read it, but I want you to write this down. Genesis 38. Read Genesis 38, and you'll see. Tamar was a woman who was given to marry a man named Ur. Is that right? E-R? Ur? And Ur was a wicked man, and God killed him. The Bible says very plainly, he was wicked, and the Lord killed him. Period. So Judah, the father of Tamar, says, and this is all the tribe of Judah here, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah says, okay, we have to do the situation of a levirate marriage. That is, you need to marry Ur's brother Onan, or Onan needs to marry you. Onan's mad, he's angry. He refuses to bear children by Tamar as well. And so God kills him. And then in comes Tamar, and she says, okay, who am I going to marry now? I got to marry somebody, right? And Judah says, no, you're just going to be a widow the rest of your life. So Tamar dresses herself up like a harlot. She disguises herself, and she tricks Judah. And Judah goes in unto her and lays with her, and she becomes child with Judah, with Judah's child. And it gets back to Judah, hey, did you hear Tamar is expecting a baby? He says, I told Tamar to just be a widow the rest of her life, to remain husbandless. Did you hear she's expecting a baby? He says, bring her out, we're going to burn her. Sweet, sweet fellow. We're going to burn her. Well, what he didn't know is that when he went in with her, she stole some of the things that were his, and she kept them hidden. And then when they brought her out to stone him, they said, who's the dad of the baby? She said, you are, Buster. And she showed those things, and that's in the original Hebrew, Buster. You are. And he said, you're more righteous than I am, because I should have given you a husband. I should have seen that the law of God was fulfilled, but I didn't.
Well, he had a son.
Yes.
He had a son, and she was expecting to get that son, and he shunned her.
That's correct.
The father did.
And he names him specifically, right?
Right.
I should have given him to you. He says, you're more righteous, I think he says, than I was. Not that she was right in what she did, but all these people there, they're saying, you know what? Because all these people in Bethlehem, Judah, are descendants of Pharaohs.
Judah's a Canaanite, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Have to look that up. So Pharaohs gave the lion's share of people to populate Bethlehem, Judah. And all these people in Bethlehem, Judah are saying, you know, if she wouldn't have done what she did, we wouldn't have any of this. None of this would be here. And very similar situation. She was supposed to be married to one person, but she was shunned, and God wound up blessing her anyways. And he said, Ruth, we hope you're like that. Someone shunned you, but God's going to bless you far and above the pain you receive from people. All right, number 12. Let's finish up here. The women of Bethlehem, Judah, could see God's blessing on Naomi. What things did they say that this child would be to Naomi? Yes?
A restorer of old age.
A restorer of thy life. Right? What else?
Better than seven sons.
What else?
A nourisher of her old age.
Nourisher of her old age. What else? There's one other thing. A kinsman. This child's a kinsman. All these things. And all of those have a huge blessing. All right. Anything else on this or anything that we missed? This is a deep, deep chapter. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I study this, don't you like it when your preacher's on this? Every time I study this, I have to work so hard to wrap my head around the way all of those things worked back then. It's all there. It's all in the scripture. And a lot of good truth. Any thoughts? Anything we missed? Okay, appreciate your participation. Every one of you has been a blessing. And I just want to say praise God for Jesus. Praise God for our redemption. What the law could not do, Christ, becoming our nearer kinsman, did. He put the law to death, hung it on the cross, that ordinance that was against us, he nailed it to his cross and left it there. He didn't stay there. He rose up alive.
Yes.
And we love him for that. All right. Well, if there's no other questions or comments, I want to say God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday morning for Sunday school. You are dismissed.